Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Woo, hallelujah. What a moment he has brought us through. Hallelujah. Thanking God for this day that he has made. I will, I shall, and I do rejoice and I'm glad in it that God gave us a do-over. Hallelujah. Thanking God for the do-over. I thank God for each and every one of you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. Because, again, it is a great word because there is no such thing as a not great word of God. And today's word is going to be coming out of Genesis chapter 37 through 38. And as a women's ministry pastor, all I can say is one of my favorite. This woman that we're going to talk about this morning is in the lineage of Jesus in the book of Matthew, one of five women that make it into the lineage. And all you can say is, okay, you go, girl, because she's something. This woman, a lot of spunk. You know, don't mess with a woman who wants a baby, especially when you lie about some things. So, great word today. We're dealing with jealousy and envy and all those things, you know, behind those, as they say, those smiling faces telling lies. We got a lot of words this morning, but the word that God gave me was she has been more righteous than I, as spoken by Judah. And we all know that she has been more righteous than Judah. As we'll go through chapter 37, you'll see Judah is not that righteous. And then when we get into 38, you'll see Judah's definitely not that righteous. But still, God chose the lineage of Judah for his son. Wow. Even God can use and someone that may not be the greatest in our eyes, but may be in the eyes of God. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day that you have made. We rejoice in it, Lord. We rejoice in being your children. We rejoice in being called, hallelujah, sons of God. Father God, we ask you to lift up this word today, that someone listening may get a word that they need, may get a word that will touch their hearts, that will touch their minds, and that will touch their spirits. Father God, we ask you to increase as we decrease. And Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and righteous sight. For you, Father God, are my strength. You are my strength. You are my strength. And you are my redeemer. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. In Jesus' name, I pray, believing and thanking you, Father God, for everything. I say it again, everything. For the Son, Holy Spirit, everything, Lord God, good and perfect. The good, the bad, and the ugly come from you for a purpose and for a reason, to make us better, to make us stronger, to make us your children, to make us able to fight the fight that's coming. The fight, ooh, hallelujah, against the powers of darkness. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Father God. You have told us in your word. So, Father God, we ask you, continue pouring your love in us. Continue pouring your power in us. continue pouring more of you in us through your word and through your son, Jesus Christ, that our Holy Spirit that you have placed in us lights up. Lights up. That the enemy has no place to hide in our midst. Give us strength to confront and to understand that you fight with us and you go before us and that you never leave us and you never forsake us. No matter what goes on in our life, you are there. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thanking God for this day. I'll have some more news on tomorrow and explain a thing or two that has happened over the course of these last, over this week in my life. As I talked on yesterday, I am grateful. I am thankful. And I am truly blessed to be with you this morning, feeling so much more better. Feeling so much better than yesterday. I was in a car accident on Monday that could have taken my life. And so I tell God every day, thank you, God, for this new day that you have given me. Thank you, God, for the do-over. It means a whole lot more now than it's ever been, that God gave me a do-over. So I work for the Lord, and it's time to go to work, y'all. So let's get into our word this morning. Let's get into the word this morning. And it is a good word. It's a great word. I'll say it again. It is a great word. Oh, Jesus, thanking God. Thanking God for this day. I can't say it again. Love you all. So let's get started. Hey! And again, great word. And this is what it says in Genesis chapter 37. And we're getting ready to talk about Joseph. We're going into some envy and jealousy, you know, misery and strife, you know, them smiling faces telling lies. So let's get started. It says, now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. We had the lineage and all the things about Esau on yesterday. So today is about Jacob. It says, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheep. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, here I am. Then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flock, and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flock. And the man said, they have departed from here. If I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. Then the Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes, and he returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more, and I, where shall I go? So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it is your son or not? And he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Now, come on. And, you know, when I read this and I noticed Reuben said, the lad is no more, and I, where shall I go? Because Reuben, no, he was on a thin, can we say thin string with his dad. Oldest son that slept with one of his brother's mama and his daddy's wife. Come on now. No, he was wrong. Violated his father's marriage bed with his stepmother and the mother of his brothers. Come on. So he was on a thin string. Now, Judah, looking at the entrepreneurial side of things, said, you know, we don't want to kill him because if we kill him, we get nothing out of it but a grieving daddy. But if we sell them, we get some money, you know, even though we're going to grieve our dad. But now maybe he'll love us as much as he loved Joseph. So there was this jealousy thing going on within this family. And we as parents, as TTs and uncles and pawpaws and grandmas and Medeas, we got to all understand that we can't show favoritism. Because when you start showing favoritism, you have a whole set of issues that you create within your family dynamic. You create jealousy and envy. And you could create sometimes siblings and cousins and family members killing each other out of jealousy. We can't do that. And just for those that have family members that might want to listen in but are not internet savvy, because I blog Twitter as well as Facebook, but I ask you to give them this number, 213-943-35997, to listen in on a daily basis. Our goal and my assignment as this minister, as the minister for moving forward, is to read the entire Bible in 1 year so that we get all of the word ourselves. Because when you get the word yourself, you understand it, you get it in, as I always like to say, you want to get it within the conciseness of the word and get it in context. Because so many times, you know, I go out and I listen to pastors on YouTube and different things, different mediums. And what I found is, you know, there are some that will take a scripture and move with it. And I mean, a tiny scripture and go with it. And totally out of context of that scripture. But when you read it yourself, you can go in and you say, oh, that's not quite right. But you listen. But you know in your heart, that's not the word. And that is not the context that God gave it to us. So you need to know the word in order to be able to discern it. And so that is our goal, is to read the entire word from Genesis to Revelation. Chapter 22, verse 21, we're going to read it all, God willing. And so I thank God for this day. Again, I am grateful to be here to do my assignment. I am grateful to be here to do my assignment because I could be dead, sleeping in my grave, but God did not allow it. I thank God for holding me in. I thank God for that nice pillow called an airbag that just rested right on my head. It didn't hurt. It was just like there. The next thing I know, it was there. And I was being held in by my seatbelt. So I say to everybody, and I say this, I said it yesterday, and I say it again, wear your seat belts. Don't play with your life. Don't play with your life. Wear your seat belts. Careful, especially on icy surfaces. You never know when you're going to be the one to hit that icy road, that icy surface, and not be able to control your balance. Or control your car. Praise God every day and thank him for every day that he gives you, because he doesn't have to give you a new day. I thank God today for my new day, and I pray that I don't waste it away giving God glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. Let's keep on in the word, because our title is coming out of the next chapter. And I'm going to say, y'all, Tamar is one of my sheroes. She is. She's one of my sheroes, because this lady, this mighty woman of God in the lineage of the Savior, does not play. Don't mess with a smart woman. That's all I'm saying out there. Don't mess with a smart woman. And don't mess with a woman determined to do what's right before God. So let's get into this word, Genesis chapter 38. Woo! And it is, can I say it, y'all? It is a great word. Y'all's instructor this morning, the reader this morning, I'm getting all giddied up. Because this word just does something. As a women minister, I cannot help it. Ladies, this word is for us. Don't play. Don't play. You know, don't mess with a woman of God. Hallelujah. So this is the word, and it goes like this. And it came to pass at that time that Judah departed from his brothers and visited a certain Adullamite whose name was Hara. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shelah. And he married her and went into her. So she conceived and bore a son. And he called his name Ur. She conceived again and bore a son. And she called his name Onan. And she conceived yet again and bore a son and called his name Shelah. He was at Kirzeb, and she bore him. Then Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. And Judah said to Onan, go in to your brother's wife and marry her and raise up an heir to your brother. But Onan knew that the heir would not be his, and it came to pass when he went in to his brother's wife that he admitted on the ground, lest he should give an heir to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, therefore he killed him also. Then Judah said to Tamar, his brother, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow in your father's house till my son Shelah is grown. But he said, lest he also die like his brothers. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Now in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shears at Timnah. He and his friend Hira and Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, look, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep. So she took off her widow garments, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which was on the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given to him as a wife. Then Judah saw her. He thought she was a harlot, because she had covered her face. Then he turned to her by the way and said, please let me come into you. For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. So she said, what will you give me that you may come into me? And he said, I will send a young goat from the flock. So she said, will you give me a pledge till you send it? Then he said, what pledge shall I give you? So she said, your signet and cord and your staff that is in your hand. Then he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. So she arose and went away and laid aside her veil and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the young goat by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. But he did not find her. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, where is the harlot who was openly by the roadside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. So he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. Also the men of the place said, there was no harlot in this place. Then Judah said, let her take them for herself, lest we be shamed. For I sent this young goat, and you have not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that, Judah was told, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. Furthermore, she is with child by harlotry. So Judah said, bring her out and let her be burned. Now, excuse me. You who said that you would give her your son, Shelah, did not keep your word. You who sent her into widowhood without child and without children, without anything to call her own. But yet, you getting ready to judge and burn her. You the same one who sold your brother into slavery. Come on now. You not right. You not perfect. But yet, you getting ready to judge somebody. Judge not, lest you be judged. So let's keep it moving in this word. When she was brought out, she said to her father-in-law, saying, by the man to whom these belong, I am with child. And she said, please determine who these are, the signet and the cord and the staff. So Judah acknowledged them and said, she has been more righteous than I. And that's the word for this morning. She has been more righteous than I. Because you know, again, you sold your brother into slavery. Lied to your daughter-in-law. Had sex with a harlot that you thought was a harlot, but it was your daughter-in-law. And then was ready to burn her because she got pregnant. And never in his mind did he think, oops, I'm the daddy. So Judah, you are the daddy. You are the father. Didn't need Mari. Didn't need anybody to tell him he was the daddy. He acknowledged, yep, I'm the daddy. So he was the daddy and the granddaddy all at the same time. Come on now. Woo! What a web we weave when we practice to deceive. And let's keep it going. It says, now it came to pass at the time for giving birth that, behold, twins were in her womb. And so it was when she was giving birth that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took a scarlet cord, or scarlet, and bound it on his hand, saying, this one came out first. Then it happened, as he drew back his hand, that his brother came out unexpectedly, and she said, how did you break through? This breach be upon you. Therefore his name was called Perez. Afterwards his brother came out, who had the scarlet thread on his hand, and his name was called Zerah. Wow. Hand out, trying to get out, and Perez like, back in. I'm done. I made it. You didn't win this one. So Perez was out first, and Perez is in the lineage of our Savior. What a mighty word. She, what did he say? She is more honorable than I. Hallelujah. She is more righteous, excuse me, than I. I said the honorable because she was more honorable than Judah. Again, sold your brother down the road. Come on, call it like it was. Psalms 9 and 11 through verse 20. And it says, sing praises to the Lord. Sing praises to the Lord, who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death. Oh, I understand that word. That I may tell of all your praise. In the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid. Their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Did y'all catch that? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. All of us, all of you, that are calling in are listening in from Canada, from Africa, from the Caribbean, from Japan. Understand, all my brothers and sisters from my nation, America, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. We cannot forget God. We got to lift up the name of Jesus wherever we go. For Jesus told us in his word, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. And I will not know you. He won't know us. We act ashamed to say the name. We got to remember who we belong to. We are God's children. And we have to turn from wickedness. We are supposed to be loving and kind and faithful. The greatest gift we ever had, the greatest commandment we've ever been given, is to love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's what God gave us. And Jesus also told us on yesterday, a house divided against itself shall not stand. We got to love each other. And we got to turn from wickedness. Because we don't want to go to hell. As a world, as nations, as people. And this is what the word says, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 through 35. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. What word this morning? We're going to go back and get life questions answered. And we have also we have one life lesson coming out of the Old Testament. And the life question is this: how can I deal effectively with jealousy? And this is one of those, get your pen and paper out. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. He said, in Genesis 37, we read a story of terrible resentment and envy. Verses 3 and 4 tell us Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And I wanted to say, what about Benjamin, who was younger than Joseph? So that was your son of your old age. But needless to say, I digress. And it goes on to say, also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. As we know from reading the rest of the chapter, the brothers' jealousy grew until their only thought was about how to rid themselves of Joseph. So they did the unthinkable and sold their young brother into slavery. And then the question that Dr. Stanley asked us each is this: have you ever felt jealous of someone else's success? Maybe your neighbor has a brand new car, or perhaps someone at work got the promotion you desire. When situations like these stir up unexpected reactions within us, we just might have a problem. Jealousy is the emotion of extreme displeasure upon seeing someone else's good fortune, and it can poison good relationships, ruin our witness, and keep us from experiencing God's blessings. The Bible calls jealousy a work of the flesh in Galatians 5:19-20. Is it possible to take control of a jealous attitude? The answer, Dr. Stanley tells us, is yes. In fact, we need to deal with it as we act as cruelly or unwisely as Joseph's brothers. Therefore, since God wants his children to take charge over these volatile emotions, let's examine some specific things you can do to gain victory. And this is victory over jealousy. And if you want to write them down, the first is confess your jealousy. Number two is realize that you disagree with God. Number four, thank God for what he's doing in that life. Be happy for your brothers and sisters. Ask God, number four, ask God to place love in your heart for the other person. Number five, keep your focus on God alone. So the first one is confess your jealousy. This emotion will always, always take your eyes off the Lord and fix them on some other person or object. That, at its heart, is idolatry. Whenever you place a higher value on something than you place on God, you put yourself under divine judgment. Repent of that sin immediately. You have folks that put people on pedestals. You have folks that would give their life for a person before they would give their life for a brother or a sister because that person is a celebrity. That person is somebody they place on a pedestal. You got to be careful. Are you willing to die for them? And what have they ever done for you? But yet, you say you love God, but you love people, places, and things more than you do God. And then it goes on to say, realize that you disagree with God. If the Lord chooses to bring some specific blessing into another person's life, then that is his prerogative. Your jealousy merely declares that you think you deserve the blessing more than the other person. Bring this disagreement honestly before the Lord and ask him to restore a godly perspective to you. Number three, thank God for what he's doing in that person's life. You may not like this point, but when you praise God, even if you do not feel like it, you put yourself in a position to receive his blessings by showing that you fully trust his judgment. We got to, number four, ask God to place love in your heart for the other person. So often in scripture, the word anger follows the word jealousy. Do not allow jealousy to stir up malice and hate. Instead, learn how to rejoice when others receive blessings, even when you believe you should have received those blessings instead. God is the giver and the taker of blessings. God can give and God can take. But we got to accept whatever it is God gives us. Because whatever it is, God is the determiner of it, not us. Hallelujah. Thank God for everything. But most of all, thank God that he put breath in your body. Hallelujah. Keep your focus on God alone. Delight in him, knowing that he promised to give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. Focus first and foremost on what he's done for you and on the promises he's made to you through his word. Always remember that God is God and that it is his prerogative to bless each one of us in exactly the way he sees fit. Hallelujah. What a word. Life lesson from Genesis 38:10. The thing which he did displeased the Lord, therefore he killed him also. And this is what it says. It says, if we ever doubt that we serve a holy and righteous God who hates sin, we should remember Ur and Onan, the wicked sons of Judah. Let's get into our New Testament word this morning. And it is a great word today with some highlightables. So get your highlighter out. And it says this in Matthew chapter 13. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who had ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has to him, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But he, whoever does not have even what he will ask, will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And to them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Woo! I think he's talking to us today. Lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. Hallelujah. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. He who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And this is another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and also appeared, so the servant of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no. That's why you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Woo! I told y'all it was a highlightable word today. And just some life lessons from this New Testament word, whoever has him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. This combination of promise and warning typifies a great deal of God's instruction in his word. He motivates us to experience life through both offers of blessing and declarations of caution. The Lord gives and the Lord can take it back. And we should thank God for whatever we have, because he gave it to us for a purpose and a reason. Don't ever shortchange God. And when we get to the story of the wheat and the tares, understand this is a church message. You will have folks that will come in and they will get the word and they will be gone as soon as they walk out the door. You will have folks that will get excited and join the church. They will come for a little while and then they will not come again because the world pulled them back out. You will have folks that will be in the body, but the body is not acting like folks of God. So they are among thorns, and then all of a sudden they get church hurt, and then you have the ones that stay through it all, that are deeply found, their deep foundation is in the Lord, and they are not going, I don't care what you do. They love God, and they are there to work the work they are called to work, and they are not going anywhere. Now, when we get to the parable of the weeds, I call them the tares or weeds, weeds and the wheat, that yes, you can be in a church that may have a whole lot of weeds, but you can't go in and try to pick out the weeds from the good wheat, because you may pull up and uproot the whole church. You just leave it. Let the wheat grow, tares, because bottom line comes, God will be the one who chooses and who pulls and who knows to bundle the tares, and the tares are going where they go. As many will say, Lord, I preached your word. I don't know you. Tare. Lord, you know me, right? I was in church every Sunday for 95 years. I had my own seat even. And, you know, I didn't let nobody sit in my seat. You know, I was there for 50 years, and I didn't let nobody sit in my seat. That was my seat. And I sat there every Sunday, and I got the word. Tare, I don't know you. Lord, I loved you. I worked the work. I gave my soul, my mind, my spirit. I gave everything I had to you. And I would give my life for you and for anyone who is my brother. I would rather lose my life that others may live. And God will say, my good and faithful servant, well done. Wheat. So the question becomes, will we be wheat or will we be tare? Because God will be able to discern both. And this is what the last life lesson Dr. Stanley gives us is this, from Matthew 13:23. He who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit. God wants us to hear, understand, and put into practice his counsel and instruction. He doesn't see us as vaults into which he hides his word, but rather as gardens in which his word can sprout and grow. So let us all be in God's garden today. And let us be a Tamar, more honorable, more righteous than I. Thanking God today for all of you If there's anyone that has a word that God has put in their heart, that's put in their spirit, they would like to share, please push the one on your phone. And if not, we are wrapping it up. We have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And the word for today is this. Not all storms come to disrupt your life. Oh, praise the Lord. Some come to clear your path. Have a walk on Wednesday. And all I can say is our sister Tamar had a walk on Wednesday today. And it was a great word. Hallelujah. Thanking God for all of you. Thanking God for this mighty word. And asking God to bless each and every one of you today as we move forward in God's word and with each other. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. And as we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. For the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Let's be laborers for the Lord today and always.